Eric Weiner did a great job sort of discussing a lot of the issues that have come out as a result of this. And of course, the obvious first question is, what does this mean in terms of patient care? How do you think it's going to impact, or how should it impact, first-line therapy?
Well, certainly for a patient receiving a taxane as first-line therapy for metastatic breast cancer, to my mind, the answer is relatively clear. Insurance companies and Medicare payments willing, I think this is something that ought to be considered for use along with taxane-based therapy as frontline therapy for metastatic breast cancer.
Taxane meaning also docetaxel and ABI-007 or Abraxane?
I certainly would not quibble with those who would suggest that we need to get safety data in this setting. But having said that, in our preclinical models, for instance, a lot of the modeling we did actually was with docetaxel. And I certainly would expect docetaxel to work well with Avastin. I would certainly not be surprised if nanoparticle taxane therapy would work well. And in fact, the nanoparticle taxanes have as a possible mechanism of action an effect on endothelial cells, or at least the use of endothelial cells as a delivery system for the drug. So it's possible, in fact, we might see some synergistic activity there as well.
Any safety data with the nanoparticle?
Not that I'm aware of.
It is paclitaxel. Do you think that it would be justifiable to use that combination now, or do you think safety data is required?
I suspect it would be safe. I mean, I certainly not have any problem with someone using the combination. I would not expect any outsized toxicity.
Now, what about the patient with HER2-positive disease getting a taxane who's also going to get trastuzumab?
It's a great question. When we launched E2100, there was literally zero data on the use of combination monoclonal antibody therapy in breast cancer for any antibodies, let alone bevacizumab and trastuzumab, probably outside of breast cancer as well. Now, since that time, Mark Pegram and his colleagues at UCLA, based on some wonderful preclinical work that was done there, have combined bevacizumab and trastuzumab in a phase 1 trial that was recently reported and now have a phase 2 trial ongoing. In the phase 1 trial, which had a total of 9 patients because it was pretty non-toxic and zipped through its dose levels, showed that 5 of the 9 patients receiving the combination of the two antibodies had an objective response, with some other patients having prolonged stabilization of disease. Now, you never want to make too much of a phase 1 trial. You never certainly don't want to make much of a trial that has 9 patients in it. But for monotherapy with no chemotherapy involved, this, in fact, is a pretty respectable response rate. And if it plays out in the larger phase 2 trial, I think it's certainly going to suggest that this will be a felicitous combination. We've got great preclinical data suggesting this will work. On the clinical side, HER2-positive patients, because HER2 is an upstream regulator of VEGF, HER2-positive patients might, in fact, be expected to benefit more from the combination of bevacizumab and trastuzumab. When, as ECOG breast chair, I would lie awake at nights and worry about E2100, actually, my major worry was that because we excluded HER2-positive breast cancer from the trial, I actually had concerns that we might be excluding the most responsive patients. If, in fact, that worry was true, then we should see stunning results for the combination of bevacizumab and trastuzumab.
I think that is an important point to emphasize, in that the E2100 patients were all HER2-negative, whereas I think in the prior trial there were some HER2-positive.
That's correct. The original phase 2 trial and in the Xeloda Cape plus Plinus capecitabine trial had both included HER2-positive patients, many of whom, of course, had received prior trastuzumab.
So understanding that, you know, it's kind of just a perspective, and we're going to have to sort of think about this and sort it through. Right now, you go back to your clinic tomorrow and see a patient, first relapse, metastatic disease, prior AC, chemotherapy, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm certainly going to offer it to them. I think we have to share this data with patients. I mean, this is the best improvement in progression-free survival we have ever seen in metastatic breast cancer. I guess it's actually worth mentioning that if we compare E2100 with the pivotal Herceptin trial, in fact, we have a better hazard ratio in this trial than we had for the addition of trastuzumab to taxol-based chemotherapy.
Specifically, what are you thinking you're going to do if you have a patient in first relapse with HER2-positive disease, let's say who's had prior AC?
Well, certainly the standard of care in that patient is to give taxane plus Herceptin, or for that matter, carb tax plus Herceptin. I'm a little careful about saying we can jump into, outside of a clinical trial, combination chemotherapy plus combination monoclonal antibody therapy. I think we actually do need to look at that.